Good morning, everybody. Marhaba, and welcome to the Smashy Business Show. My name is Hind Al-Dah, and I am here with...
Abdul-Majid.
Abdul-Majid, how are you feeling on this fine Thursday morning?
I'm feeling really good because the weekend is like just one day away.
Right.
But for business, it's never weekend.
Mm. But also for Sharjah peeps, they don't have work. Well, at least people working in government institutions.
So it's off on Fridays
and
Saturdays and Sundays?
Yes, three-day weekend.
Oh, so it was supposed to be Saturday and Sunday because they switched from Friday and Saturday.
Yes.
But I guess the ruler was
The ruler was like, no, you guys are taking a day off for 3 days per
so
week.
So for some people, it's half day also.
Yes.
I guess the private companies, they give a half day after
yes,
the...
Yes, they do. They do. So they end at 12 on Fridays.
So whenever you're moving to the UAE, try to go to Sharjah. You'll get 2.5 at least, or at least 3 days, or at max 3 days off.
Another exciting news related to the UAE, Salik... Toll bridges have been spotted, two new bridges have been spotted. So that will increase the number of Salik in Dubai from 8 to 10. And Majid and I were talking about this yesterday. Majid was asking me, what road do you take? Because he is trying his best to avoid tolls as much as possible. But unfortunately, or maybe fortunately for Salik, because they are making a lot of money. Recently, they published their half-year reports, which is around half a billion dirhams. So it's set to open on Business Bay Crossing on Al Khail Road, Al Safa South on Sheikh Zayed Road, between Al Maidan Street and Umm Al Shaif Street. So if you are trying to avoid tolls, maybe avoid going to those areas.
So you will have to update your Waze and Google Maps and re-enter that part that, oh, avoid tolls.
Mm-hmm.
But usually when I go to Nahda side, I have to take one toll at least.
Yeah,
the last
that one that you can't really avoid.
So it's good for... you said it's an exciting news. It's an exciting news for Salik, obviously.
Yes.
But for travelers
who
take that way, they will have to use alternate routes. People usually do. And there's mm-hmm. more traffic on those roads because everyone tries to avoid Salik.
Yes.
But it's a good initiative. It's not bad. See, all this money that any country takes, they use it for your own good. We saw in the last rains that all the roads which were flooded were eventually cleaned up very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So all the money, don't think that all this money goes somewhere in someone's pocket.
Exactly.
Is actually used for you in some way or some form, in the maintenance of roads, development of new roads. So again, enjoy. Mm-hmm.
In other street-related news, Abu Dhabi's rainless trains will operate now on weekdays, whereas it used to operate only from Fridays to Sundays. And these trains only started operating in October of last year, so it hasn't even been a whole year, and people have been seeing demands. I mean, sorry, the trains have been seeing demands because they are now operating from 10 to 8 p.m., whereas they used to operate on only from 10 to 3 p.m. So that's great news for people who enjoy taking public transport in Abu Dhabi.
In Dubai, you see, you have Dubai Metro, and it's flooded with people because it's the easiest way to and the cheapest way to go from one corner of Dubai to the other corner. But in Abu Dhabi, I've lived there for 4 months. I was just telling you. However, the Hafila system, the bus system, is quite equipped to tackle the people problem, the travel problem. But these new trains obviously are a new shining light for the people of Abu Dhabi. And hopefully they'll increase the number.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with Abu Dhabi that I see when I live there as a person who is living right now and maybe listening to us or watching us, he will agree that going from an island to an island is a problem. Those are longer travels time. But whenever I used to take a bus from Hamdan to Reem Island, for example, it would hardly take 15 to 20 minutes. You can go to Yas Island also in 15 to 20 minutes using the buses. Maybe this train will reduce the time because it will have a clearer path because those buses stopped a lot.
And essentially, this rail-less train
is a
very long bus.
Yeah, it's a very long bus, but the good idea, I think, is that they will have longer travel time and lesser stops.
Mm.
So if you're traveling from one spot to a very far away spot, that'll be good.
Mm-hmm.
You don't
so
have to like stop
time.
At everything.
Mm-hmm. So it will reduce your time
and it'll be less breaks like this and more traveling. Yes. So good for Abu Dhabi. Abu Dhabi, we were also discussing maybe they will sometime in the future make a metro, but we're talking that it's built such nicely in such a grid form like this, straight lines and this. that even if you miss a cut, you can always turn around and come back on the same road. In Dubai, if you miss an exit, Hind can tell you what happens. Because you go to Sharjah, right?
I do. And if I miss any stop, it adds, I think, maybe 15 to 20 minutes of commute time.
And don't forget the fuel cost.
My God. Yes.
Okay, let's move on to the main stories for today. The very first story that we're going to talk about is about the MENA region, the Middle East and North Africa region. The startups in the MENA region have seen 200% increase in investment in July only in 1 month. So in July 2024, the Middle East and North African countries and the startup ecosystem saw a significant resurgence. The insurgence of nearly 200%. And the total in amount was $355 million. So 38 startups across the MENA region got nearly $355 million. That's a very big number. Egypt has led the way. Egypt got the biggest investment by securing $185 million for seven startups. So that's like a big half chunk of the total 355 million. And then leading after that was UAE, Saudi Arabia. So it's a good sign for the startup ecosystem, and it's a good sign for the people who are doing startups come to the MENA region.
And we talked about the high unemployment rates in the MENA region yesterday. So it's good to have these startups, I think, because it will be attractive to young people and, you know, hopefully employ them and get them out of that unemployment sludge. So the surge in this investment is a very strong indicator of the growing dynamism and potential of the MENA startup system ecosystem, particularly in countries like Egypt and the UAE. It also reflects the increasing investor confidence in the region, driven by a maturing ecosystem, innovative startups, and the presence of lucrative sectors like fintech and Web3. This significant increase in funding, especially in B2B startups or business-to-business startups, suggests a shift towards more sustainable and scalable business models in the region. However, there is a persistent gender gap in funding these startups. This highlights the ongoing challenges related to diversity and inclusion within this landscape, which, of course, could impact long-term growth and innovation.
So what's next for the MENA region?
So the MENA region's startup ecosystem is likely to continue attracting significant investment, especially in key sectors like fintech, clean tech, and deep tech. Again, countries like the UAE and Egypt are expected to remain central hubs for innovation and investment. And to sustain this momentum, stakeholders may focus on addressing the gender disparity in funding, which could involve initiatives to support female entrepreneurs and create a more inclusive environment. So include both men and women and fund both equally and not just, fund men who own startups more than women.
So how do you feel about this hint that women are still facing gender-based problem? It's not like they don't have good ideas. It's not like they don't have good initiatives or startups. The problem is that they're women and they're being targeted, because the report clearly says that whenever an investor comes in, out of the 10 women startups that they see, they only invest in one. But out of the 10 male-led startups that they see, they invest in nearly seven of them. Mm-hmm. So is it a cause of concern? Yeah.
That is a cause for concern, and it's quite unfair because women have as good ideas as men.
And we've seen a number of women going up to the CEO level.
Yes,
now. There's more inclusion now.
Mm-hmm. A lot of business women have come out of the MENA region and have been quite successful in their businesses and their ideas. And I think it's quite...
Unfair.
I think, you know, the investors are making a mistake with this, because truly missing out on what a woman-led startup could have an impact on the business ecosystem.
Because we've seen the world has gone through a male-dominant system, not even in startup, across the globe.
Yes.
But women are rising to the occasion, and women are making waves, and women are leading startups which are becoming unicorns. So it's a good idea right now. It's a positive sign for investors that women are being ignored. So come and find women entrepreneurs. women in the startup ecosystem invest in their projects. Mm-hmm. Maybe someone is neglecting a very good startup only because mm-hmm. it's led by a woman, and you have the opportunity yes. to invest in it. Again, make millions and billions. Right. So that's one thing. Let's move on to the next story. We talked about Boeing's retrofitted planes, which were introduced by Emirates. Then we talked about how Emirates is going to Zurich and Riyadh yesterday as well. Now, Boeing, even though they've faced a lot of problems yes, in the last six, 7 months, there's been a lot of cases on them in the US. They finally outpaced Airbus in plane orders for July 2024. It's a good sign for Boeing that they have 72 new orders for the plane compared to Airbus, 59. However, the interesting part of the news was that the plane that had a faulty door in the US and which started the trouble for Boeing is actually the plane that is being ordered now more. So 72 new orders. The company is still reeling from the aftermath of the high profile security incidents. Happened in January 2024, not that long ago. So let's hope something good is coming for Boeing.
It's kind of scary to think about because many of the world's planes are operated by Boeing. So to see those videos and to jump on a plane made by that same company is a cause for concern,
but
to say
Boeing
the least.
Has been a very household name. We were yesterday
that
also
is
talking
true
about
as well.
Making
yes.
a brand. So. Whenever I used to hear about planes, it was like Boeing. Very rarely I heard Airbus, at least in my region in Asia where I come from, it's usually Boeing. So maybe it's their pricing, maybe it's the plane themselves, but it's good. I certainly believe that these things that happen to companies time and again, small problems, they actually help the company and the consumer at the end. Because if you identify a smaller problem, you go through a whole checkup of everything. So you do a complete audit. And that way, maybe something that you missed, you also catch that. Mm. So small problems are good for companies because they can help you avoid bigger problems during the audit process.
So let's talk about this rare win in July, more recently. That Boeing's rare win is noteworthy because it shows the company's ability to secure new business even in the face of all this controversy. However, the bigger picture reveals that Boeing is still struggling a lot. So the safety concerns and the related incidents have eroded the customer confidence and have had a direct impact on the company's financial health. And we saw that since 2019, they lost $33 billion. So, you know, their ability to recover from that loss and to regain market share is crucial, not only for the company itself, but also for the broader aerospace industry and the U.S. manufacturing prestige. Because a lot of the controversies came because people have been claiming that their manufacturing has not been to its utmost condition, and it's
maybe they're
it
not
needs
sourcing parts
basically.
From quality vendors. What I think should be the biggest cause of concern for Boeing, the point that you made, that someone sitting in a Boeing plane will have trust issues now. Maybe they make the best quality, maybe they improve everything, maybe their planes have no problems. But at the end, trust they will have to gain again, and trust is very important in mm-hmm. business. Because if a customer doesn't trust you, even if you're selling them the best possible product, they will not take it.
Yeah,
and
so
even for a cheaper price. Mm-hmm.
Because it shows how that controversy really tarnished Boeing's reputation yeah. and will continue to affect it for
It helps
a
Airbus
long
a lot, but Boeing, if they want to come back, everything else they have to do, but the biggest thing that they have to do is build trust, and if they want to eat Airbus. Because without trust, I guess there is no business.
Yep.
So let's move on to the last story for mm-hmm. today.
So Oman gets digital payments with digital payments boost. Oman gets digital payments boost with Samsung Pay. So the Arab Financial Services, in collaboration with Samsung Gulf Electronics, has introduced Samsung Pay to Oman. This partnership aims to advance Oman's digital transformation by providing consumers with a secure and convenient contactless payment solution. This is a significant development in the country's financial ecosystem because it aligns with the Central Bank of Oman's guidelines for promoting card tokenization services. This collaboration also reinforces AFS's role in as a leading digital payment solutions provider in the Gulf region, and also to expand Samsung Pay's reach in the Gulf.
So it's, I think, in the Samsung Pay coming to Oman, they already have Apple Pay, but it's more about consumer convenience. I use a Samsung phone, you maybe use an Apple phone. Someone else uses an Apple phone. So whoever has the phone, they should have the ease to pay. Mm-hmm. And again, we always talk about going cashless in the UAE. Mm-hmm. Wherever you go, you just take out your card, tap it, and walk away. You don't even have to sometimes look back and see if the payment is exactly. gone through or not. So the systems are so clean now in the UAE in regards to cashless payment. Mm-hmm. So you just tap your card. Or I don't tap my phone. Usually people tap their phones.
What do you usually do?
I always tap my card. I don't want to put
tap
any.
Tap the card.
Yeah, I don't want to put any details in my phone. I'm a skeptic.
Oh,
I believe
that's
it
smart.
Can be stolen.
That's very smart.
But yes, Apple Pay, Samsung Pay, all these payment services, they give you a lot of security. It's not. I'm not saying they're insecure, but what I'm saying is a person like me is really scared of theft.
You're right.
Identity
Understandable.
Theft. Yeah. So I tap the card. You maybe tap the phone.
I tap the phone. It's much more convenient when you just have everything on your phone to just doop and just go.
So Oman people have now also this convenience, and which is very important when it comes to any business, consumer convenience to get any product, any service that you're giving. I recently read a report on the website. It was about website development, that when you're making a website, usually people who actually order something from your website, they do it in the third or fourth click. They don't want to click more than thrice or more than four times. So usually websites which have a good e-commerce website, they have a good payments like from the shop, the visual shop that they have, to the cart system, to the cart that they're adding the products to, it should be three or four clicks, and your business, any business, will work fine. So yeah, consumer convenience. It's always about making the things easy for consumer, and eventually you'll get profits.
Yes. So the fact that this rollout of Samsung Pay in Oman is being implemented could pave the way for broader adoption of digital payment methods across the country, potentially leading to increased collaboration between fintech companies and local banks. This could be a huge win for Oman's economy. And as consumers become more accustomed to contactless payments, other digital wallet and fintech innovations might enter the Omani market. So AFS and Samsung will likely focus on expanding the service to cover more financial institutions and merchants, which will further embed digital payments into Oman's economy. There could also be more regulatory updates and initiatives aimed at promoting financial inclusion and technological advancement in the banking sector.
Very, very complicated explanation. But what was your biggest problem with cash?
Well, you know,
it's a funny question that I ask people.
To be honest, the worst thing with cash is like after you get your change back, it's leaving the store whilst trying to be as quick as possible, stuffing your cash in your wallet. And usually I just end up throwing it in the bag itself. And
so
I have
there's always someone standing behind you with the trolley, quickly, do it quickly. So yeah,
so
taking care of the change is the most difficult part of cash. I was telling her that back in Asia, in Pakistan at least, we don't really care about the coins. They have very less value, 1 rupee, 2 rupee coins, 5 rupee coins now even. So we don't really care about them. We just like give it to someone on the road. But here, 1 dirham is very important. You can get a karak for it. So taking care of coins is itself a very big responsibility. Mm-hmm. So hopefully other Middle Eastern countries which don't have a cashless system, they will get on this trend too. And we'll see whenever you come to Middle East, whenever you come to our region, you'll always just tap your card and walk away.
Yeah,
So this was all for today. We talked a lot about a lot of stories, nearly five things that are happening. Every day something is happening in the business world. We try to get the best news possible for you every day. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Friday. After that, we'll be off for 2 days.
Yes.
Weekend. So, yes, we'll see you all. And hopefully, you can follow us everywhere. Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, wherever you can find us on audio services. We're there. Videos, we're there. You can find us on YouTube. You can go to the smashy.tv website and watch the whole show there and our previous episodes and a lot of other things. And social media is always there. Everyone is doing social media. We're doing it too. We're trying to do it the best way possible. See you soon.
Thank you for joining us.
Have a great day.